if you're going to school to get a degree in basket weaving, that's going to pay you $30,000 a year. And you're taking on 40, 50, 60,000. Some people even take on $100,000 or more worth of debt. That's not a smart investment because you're starting from behind. You're digging yourself a huge hole right out of the gate.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. Welcome back to another Finance Fridays, another solo episode for everyone. Thank you all for tuning back in, and just want to thank you all for being here. 2022 is starting off very well for myself and everyone on the team at Greenbrier Capital Group, and I hope the same goes to all of you. There's a lot of stuff that's happening in the world that I think we all question, and sometimes I feel like we can feel maybe we're on an island or just don't have control of the ship to, you know, to steer our life. But I think we just got to be optimistic, help one another out, be there for your fellow human, and we can all get through this. And yeah, I think we all can be in a better place. So I just want to bring a little positive energy before we get into the topic. Yeah. So I hope you're all attacking it out there. I know I am. And it gets you in a good headspace when you're going after the things that you really care about. So today's episode, our Finance Friday episode, because after all, the show is about building wealth, building passive income. But at the end of the day, it's not what you make, but what you keep. So these Finance Friday episodes, for any new listeners, these are the ones where we're sharing topics on how to keep the money you made, how to make it work for you, so then you can just compound and grow your wealth and passive income even faster, so that you can create that life you want to live and do those things that you want to do. And again, we can all then make the world a better place. All right, everybody. So today's topic is the top financial mistakes to avoid. And these ones are pretty common. A lot of people do it. You know, I've been guilty of doing them in the past. And now I really focus on not doing them and setting up my life and my finances so I can win and grow true wealth, build my passive income, and again, create that life I want to live. So let's just get right into it here. Number one, you over-leverage yourself on things that don't make you money. And now there's going to be a little more topics that kind of branch off of this, but I think this is a very important one. A lot of people are over-leveraging on things that, again, aren't making them money. So they're paying interest on something that is, one, probably depreciating, and two, is not generating you any income. That's very dangerous. So you can think of that as, you know, different types of thing, toys, you know, maybe you're into different types of, you know, cars, motorcycles, you know, ATVs, snowmobiles, so on and so forth. Boats are a big one. That stuff that you're highly levered on, that it, one's appreciating, not making you money. And I'm not here to tell you, you can't have those nice things and have a little fun in life, but you need to set up your finances first. You need to create some, one, investments, some passive income that can then pay for those liabilities. You know, I've talked about this in the past, buy assets first so then they can pay for your liabilities. So that's the number one common mistake I see. Obviously, these aren't in order of what's more important, just spitting them off here. But I see this a lot, you know, people overextend themselves on a lot of things that are not an asset. So avoid that, number one. Number two, student loans. This is a fun topic. You know, you can get into this one at the dinner table, whether you should go to school or not. That's not what I'm here to say. What I am here to say is that, know you have a plan. If you're going to take on a large amount of student debt, because let's face it, the average person has nearly $40,000 in student loan debt. And the national total of outstanding student loan debt is $1.75 trillion. We're getting closer and closer to $2 trillion as we speak. And that's because student loans are something called a negative amortized loan or a negative AM loan. What that simply means is that oftentimes your payment does not cover the entire principal for that given monthly payment, meaning that what is not covered is then deferred and passed on to the next payment. And then what happens is a compounding effect, and it grows and grows and grows. And that's why the student loan debt is growing seven times faster than our national debt is, which is staggering because we all know how crazy our national debt is growing. So for student loans, in my humble opinion, if you're going to get a student loan, you want to do the research and make sure if you're taking on this debt, this like say $40,000, what's your return on investment? Are you actually going to be able to secure a job that one is going to pay well and then pay well in the long run, continue to grow to pay that off? Obviously, you have doctors, anything in the medical profession, engineers, you know, some mathematicians in finance. Now that makes sense, right? Because you're going to school to learn a critical skill that's then going to pay you well. But as my dad always used to joke, you know, if you're going to school to get a degree in basket weaving, that's going to pay you $30,000 a year, if that, for the rest of your life, and you're taking on 40, 50, 60,000, some people even take on $100,000 or more worth of debt, that's not worth it. That's not a smart investment because you're starting from behind. You're digging yourself a huge hole right out of the gate. So for student loans, and I get way more into this in episode 22, if you want to take a look at that. And I actually give a really cool way how you can pay off your student loan debt or a similar debt 70% faster. So you could definitely take a look at that. But again, this is something that you need to look at from an investment standpoint. Is it a good return on your investment? All right. Next common financial mistake is spending too much on a car. And this one's tough for me because I'm a big car person and I love it. And I love cars. I love nice cars. And yes, nice cars cost money, but it's not a great financial decision, especially right out of the gate. You need to set up your finances and get them in order before you can start spending a lot of money on a car, depreciating asset. Obviously, you know, I'm a car fan, so there are certain cars that are a good investment, but that's in a certain price bracket, obviously. So we're not talking about that right now. Because the average monthly car payment in the US is $563 for new vehicles, $397 for used vehicles, and $450 for leased vehicles. That's a lot of money. Money that you could take and start saving and investing. And we all know the power of compound interest. So what I always preach is delay that gratification. Don't buy the nice car now. You know, most people are buying nice cars to impress people they don't even like. So why do that? Why do you want to impress someone you don't even like? That decision could essentially hurt you in the future. And it probably will hurt you in the future. So what you do is you invest first, invest into something like I do, which is real estate that spits off asset that spits off income, which then once you grow enough and invest enough, that income can then cover your life expenses, including that car payment. But you got to delay that gratification, delay that purchase. Trust me, it'll be worth it in the end. $1.4 trillion in national car loan debt, that's just insane. And again, it's to impress people you don't even like. All right, the next one, and this kind of goes hand in hand with what we've been talking about, and that's lifestyle creep. If you're not familiar with that term, that's when you start making more money and then your lifestyle creeps up with it. So at the end of the day, net, you're not really ahead, right? Yeah, maybe you were making 50K before and spending 60% of that take-home pay. And now you're making 100K, but you bump up your lifestyle and you're still spending 60% of your take-home pay. You're just in the same position. So avoid that lifestyle creep. In episode 47, I talk about budgeting and how you should set up a budget. You know, 50% of your take-home money should go towards needs and wants. 20% should go towards saving, and 30% should go towards investing. And that's going to change over time, right? As you start making more, that investing, saving, investing numbers should go up. So avoid that lifestyle creep, really budget, because at the end of the day, if you're not tracking your finances, that's super important. Because if, just like anything, if you're not tracking it, then you can't manage it. And if you can't manage it, then you can't improve it. So you really need to be tracking. And like I mentioned in episode 47, I use a tool called Mint to track all my transactions, all my expenses, all my budgets, and I set my budget up there. So avoid that lifestyle creep. I know that's hard. You start making more money, start feeling a little more comfortable. You want to buy some nice things. I'm saying don't ever treat yourself, but don't make it the norm. You know, treat yourself every once in a while, not all the time. All right. The next mistake I've seen plenty in my career, especially when I was working for an investment firm, and that's not investing early. People think, oh, this is going to, I don't need to invest in my 20s. Some people even say, I don't even invest in my 30s. Let's just have fun. I'll wait to do that later on. You know, let's just have fun. I only live once. YOLO expression, right? That's not cool. That's not smart. You're just setting yourself up for failure. You know, I've seen people reach out, you know, I've heard of people reaching out to their advisors in their 40s, and I hope not. I've heard even sometimes 50s. Hope like, hey, can you help me? I don't have anything. So I have like $1,000 saved. If that's a bad situation to be in. Always invest early. We know the power of compound interest. I just want to give you a little illustration here. There's two investors, Jack and Ashley. Jack starts investing at age 21, invests $2,400 every year, but stops contributing money at age 30. So the total amount contributed over that time period is $21,600. All right. Ashley, on the other hand, starts investing at age 30. So essentially, you know, 9 years later, invests the same $2,400 every year. She contributes money until 67 years old. So a total of about, what's that, 37 years. Total amount contributed for her was $91,200. Now, both of these are based on the S&P 500 average, you know, that 20-year average. So guess who has more? So Jack, again, only contributed a total of $21,600, but started at 21 years old, whereas Ashley invested $91,200, but started at 30, 9 years later. Well, Jack has a total portfolio value of $2.5 million, and Ashley has a total portfolio value of $1.4 million. Jack has $1 million more, just because he started 9 years earlier. So this is super important. Invest early and invest often. As Warren Buffett says, compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. And that just proves it right there. All right, next. Too big of a home. This is another one of those lifestyle creeps. And I didn't want to lump them all together because I feel like this is kind of its own thing, because a lot of people do it, right? A lot of people try to get in too big of a home too early. You know, my goal is to, once I get into that forever home, that dream home, that the mortgage payment is paid completely by my passive income from my real estate investments and other passive income investments. But most people just want to get into their forever dream home immediately, and they overextend themselves and they're paying way too much money. And again, like I've said, people say, you know, your home is your biggest investment, and that's not true. It's a liability, something that you're paying for. It's not paying you, it's a liability. It's only an asset if you're able to sell it and make a profit. But at the end of the day, most people just stay in that same dream house and then, you know, pass away. And then it goes to their kids and they don't even see the profit. So don't overextend yourself. Build your finances first so then you can truly afford it. All right. Not having good credit is another mistake I commonly see. I talk more about this on episode 27, how to build your credit, how to create good credit. Everything becomes more expensive when you have poor credit. Your interest rate on your house is going to be more. Your interest rate on your car loan is going to be more. Even your insurance on investment property, your insurance on your home is going to be more if you don't have good credit. Because that just shows how good are you at managing money and paying your bills. If you have a poor credit, that means you're not very good at it. So that you're a higher risk. So they're going to charge you more interest. So really focus on creating good credit. And again, that is episode 27, where I go into on how to do that. So check it out. And the next one kind of goes with that, and that's not paying off high interest debt. So for instance, credit card is probably the most common high interest debt. You know, you're 15%, 20%, 25%, you know, interest rate on credit card debt. Don't let that stack up. That's the worst thing. And if you do have credit card debt, let pile up. Attack that first, even before you start investing. Because let's face it, most of us here are not financial gurus or stock picking wizards. So we're not going to average 25% or more a year. So you're not going to be able to create that spread on your credit card. So you should be focusing on paying down that credit card as quickly as possible, or any other high interest debt. Focus on paying that down first as fast as possible. That's one way to cripple you. And trust me, pay that off fast. Focus on that. All right. Second to last one And that's what we call a career plateau. That simply means that you've come to a point where there's no upward mobility. There's no way you can increase your pay. And, you know, episode 49, which we recently had, talk about, you know, how to get a pay increase, right? How to get that promotion and pay increase, right? Actually, I digress, not necessarily a promotion, but how to get a pay increase, because that's important. You got to keep increasing your pay, because historically, inflation has increased a lot faster than income growth. So you need to be able to combat that. And another way to do that too is find ulterior sources of income, alternate streams of income. Maybe that's from rental property. Maybe that's from being passive in a business. There's plenty of options out there to do that. You really do not want to get to a career plateau. So check out episode 47, go into like how you can get a raise. All right, last one. It's a common one, is when people do not make money while they sleep. And what I mean by that is creating some source of income that's truly passive, that's going to pay you even when you're not trading time for money. So you're 9 to 5, right? You're trading time for money. You're only going to get paid when you are working, right? So that's trading time for money. But truly passive is when you're not trading time. It's, you know, you may have invested in something, it's going to then pay you as long as you have that investment. That's very important. That's a common mistake that I see most people don't do. They just work 9 to 5 their whole career and they put money in the market. Hopefully they started early, but if not, it's even worse. They don't have a source of income that's going to generate while they're sleeping. So they just have to work and work and work and hope they save up enough to then be able to, you know, retire and live a comfortable retirement. So really focus on creating some passive income where you can make money while you sleep. That's what I focus on all the time. All right, everybody. And I go into that one, episode 14, how to make money while you sleep. So check it out. All right, everybody. That's the show today. I just wanted to get into, because I see it all the time, people making these financial mistakes, and just like breaks my heart, because people are just setting themselves up for failure and making their life so much tougher on themselves. So I really hope you got some value out of this. And if any of these things I went over, you know, relates to you, please take it seriously to look into that and correct that. So I want you all to win and succeed in life. And like I said, we can all succeed in life. We can all make this world a better place. All right, everybody. As always, thanks for tuning in, and I'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.